Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. Good evening to you. 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio, Black Ice, and the next phase with Ice and Friends. I want to welcome you, and I hope you had a wonderful day. I hope you had a wonderful week, as a matter of fact. Thursday evening, 7 until 8:30 p.m., we do this right here. Let me give you a brief disclaimer, do a little housekeeping right quick. Any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the host and or views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. The description is this. This show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in our community can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests, all these and more pointed concerns will be approached in an entertaining format, hopefully right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. There will be musical segments on occasion, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include right here, join us on the next phase with Ice and Friends, and you can give us a call right here at 347-945-7040, or you can drop us an email, blackice.1, B-L-A-K-I-C-Z, .1@gmail.com. That number to call is 347-945-7040, or you can email us if you have if you'd like to be on the show, or you have some topics, or if you'd like to suggest some guests that we might be able to secure and hopefully present for you. blakicz.1@gmail.com, and feel free to join us. I'm not looking at the board right now, so if you're giving us a call, we don't know, and I'm not looking at the chat room because I'm. I have something else pulled up. But I want to thank Mr. T.L. Harris. He was a guest last week. And Brother T.L. Harris, he takes us on a tour of the music industry from a very different perspective than what I think the corporate media does. A little bit more insight, a little bit more personal. And one particular instance last week that we got into was his discussion of Brother Weldon Arthur McDougall, the third. And we always appreciate Brother T.L. Harris when he can find time to fit us in his schedule and spend some time with us. Also, Ms. Rabia Ahmed gave us a call through. And Ms. Rabia Ahmed is the organizer of SMART, Smart Women Are Really Trying, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. It's designed to assist especially women and their families who have had some difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. And I really appreciate Sister Rabia due to the fact, one of the reasons is that she does considerably more than just talk. Hoping she will have a chance next week to share with us on the, this coming week, that'll be Thursday, November the 11th at 7:30 p.m. I've asked, and hopefully she'll be available and give us a chance. If not, we'll be looking forward to rescheduling her at any time she'd like to be a part of the show. And let me go through a few of the other shows that you might find relevant and pertinent and interesting and stimulating on Blog Talk Radio. Sister Andy DeClaire, she's on daily at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. That's 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. And she has a very thought-provoking show, a very stimulating show, and very informative. And also Sister Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R. And let me spell Sister Andy DeClaire for you, I-N-D-I-A-D-E-C-L-A-I-R. You can go to Blog Talk Radio, type her name in the search box, and it'll pop up and give you the information necessary that you can find her and locate her show and get all the times and relevant information. And Sister Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R-1, and she's on Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And she has a very her show is a little bit different. It's a little bit more laid back, I think, and I don't think she'd mind me using that as a description. And it's a wonderful show. I recommend that you check it out as well. Sister Janice Graham, Our Common Ground, Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time. Sister Janice, JanicGraham. She's on Blog Talk Radio as well. And she has Our Common Ground with Janice Graham. She speaks truth to power and ourselves. And you can just type that in the search engine when you come to Blog Talk Radio. And Sister Janice, Janice Graham, Graham. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Miss Quiet Storm. She has a show that comes on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Mountain, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And she has a wonderful show. I've had a chance to sit in on it and really enjoyed it. And Brother Alpha also. A-L-F-O. And I did, let me tell you this, how to spell Miss Quiet Storm. I'm sure you already know, but just in case, MSQUIETSTORM, all one word. And if you type that in the search engine at Blog Talk Radio, you'll find her show and all the relevant information that you need to get a chance to sit in with her. And I hope you'll support her as well. Brother Alpha, A-L-F-O, Brother Alpha, www.blogtalkradio.com/Alpha. And he has a wonderful show. And I think, well, it's 3 p.m., 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time on, I believe, Saturdays, and 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time, the Truth Network, Our Common Ground, OCG. And Brother Jay Early, J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y. I got a chance to sit in on his show the other week. And it was an interesting show. Enjoyed it very much, and I'd recommend that you take a chance I'd recommend that you check it out if you do have a chance, is what I'm trying to say. And Miss Evelynbowden, Miss Evelyn Bowden, her show is primarily about education. I believe she's in the state of Alabama, and she's on prior to me. I believe it would probably be 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, if I'm not mistaken, and she has a wonderful show. She addresses the relevant concerns of the youth in the community from an educational perspective. There are other shows, I'm sure, that I don't have down with me right now, but as I continue to find my way around Blog Talk Radio, I'll try my best to inform you about those shows. These shows are relevant, not corporate media type shows. What you'll find on Blog Talk Radio, I think that you may enjoy, maybe not, but is that you'll have whatever the time limit we have available, you'll have that time to explore topics. If you choose to give us a call, any one of us a call, you'll explore topics that are relevant to you, and you can. It's interactive. It's not like corporate media. It's not like pontificators or commentators, some of those tremendously highly paid individuals who give you a lot of I think this, I think that, and what I saw was this, and I think, and I think, and I think, and they get paid real well to regulate your mind. Anyway, one of the issues, that came to mind this week was, guess what, the election, right? Did you vote? Yeah, I voted, and my candidates didn't win, unfortunately. Not in the numbers that I would have been very happy to have seen. And in some of the chat rooms that I frequent, there was a tremendous amount of elation on the other side. We won, we beat you. We kicked butt, we did this, we did that. And but I never heard any reference to what the solutions were to the problems that we were having. It was just, more or less enjoying the moment of winning. And, as I watched McConnell and Boehner and a few of the other leaders from the other side of the aisle from me, These guys, McConnell, his job, he said, was to stop the president. You know, it doesn't matter if you're losing your health care. It doesn't matter if you're losing your job. It doesn't matter if your house is getting foreclosed on. It doesn't matter if you're losing your car. It doesn't matter if your children aren't insured. You know, it doesn't mind. He doesn't mind if jobs are being outsourced, as long as he beats the president. Now, you see, all this suffering is going to occur to you until 2012, because that's when the next time he'll have to run against President Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. So he doesn't really care, nor does that party care, nor does the Tea Party care how you're doing. They only care to defeat the Democrats and President Obama. That's really interesting to me. They want to take the country back. Back to what? Back to the Middle Ages? Back to the Dark Ages? Back to the Stone Ages? Where do they want to take the country back to? That's my question. Anyway, there were some incidents that I saw that really kind of roused me a little bit. One of the incidents was the woman who got her head stomped by a Rand Paul supporter. And, you know, I couldn't help but wonder, when I saw that happening, where were the feminists? Why weren't the feminists outraged? Where was PETA? You know, PETA really gave Michael Vick a hard time about his dogs. So I guess that dogs, if that guy had stomped a dog, probably then there would have been a little bit more outrage. But since he just, this guy, 100 and some odd, almost 200-pound guy, stomped the head of a 123-pound little lady, 23-year-old woman, you know, if it had been your daughter, your granddaughter, your niece, your sister, your cousin, your mother. Yeah, the guy stomped her head. And you know, I watched all the commentators on the different networks, and they just casually dismissed it. And I was wondering, where are the feminists? I watched a guy slug a woman in the face. And I was like, where's the outrage? Yeah, there's, but hey, what do I know? You know. Anyway, that was just a little bit about the feminist. You know, they seem to come out whenever it's politically viable for them. You know, they're not consistent. They don't support, well, maybe they don't support people who aren't, who are progressives, maybe. Oh, and I'm a little bit mad at the progressives as well. I heard so much pontification about the reasons for the lack of support for the Democratic Party, and pretty much it's all based on perception. You know, the progressives, I was real disappointed in the progressives. You know, I look at, you know, Ed Schultz, and I look at, and I listen to Tom Hartman, and I'm listening to these guys give President Obama a hard time, and no doubt some of the people in the listening audience, if you're out there, and you want to give me a call at 347-945-7040, feel free to do so. I don't mind engaging you in conversation. But anyway, I was looking at the progressives. They were saying that there were, the one guy was talking about today, tens of thousands of calls that come in and suggested that Obama should have done this and President Obama should have done that. And I'm like, dude, don't you think maybe there might be a possibility that there might have been 10,000 Republican calling in or at least contacting you and telling me, what makes you think that these guys wouldn't stoop to that level? They've stooped to every other level, you know. But you use that. He would use that as a source of, information that would suggest that he's in a correct position when he himself also attacks the president. And then he wonders, where's the support for the president? Well, if you're supposedly a progressive and you're on the side of President Barack Hussein Obama, then why don't you support him? You know, why is it that you find yourself not able to support the president? So what are you going to do, progressives? Well, I'm not going to support him. He's not going to do this. So I guess I'll sit it out. Fundamentally to me, you were never a part of Barack Obama, and you were never a part of the Democratic Party. You were always probably a part of the Republican Party, and you only want to use your experience to influence other people to try to find their way to be the same as you, to just sit it out. You know, we don't want to get involved, but because there's nothing that has ever been significant enough for you. You've been riding along in a little wagon all your life, and you've never really had any real difficulties that occurred in your life, obviously, that would cause you to stay regardless to what the situations were, to hold on and fight regardless to what the odds were, to what the number. But that's cool. That's cool. It's not a problem as far as I'm concerned. And I watched Ed Schultz. Boy, he is just outraged. Ed Schultz, Chris Matthews. And you know, Chris, I watched him. He's kind of toned down a little bit today, as far as I could tell. But Ed Schultz, he's fired up. Obama should do this, and Obama. I'm like, Ed, why don't you give up that job you have and run for president? You know, why don't you, if you think Obama is so bad, Ed, why don't you step out there yourself? Just get right on out there in the fray. You know, get away from the desk. Get away from the camera for a minute. And start your own little campaign, Ed, you and the rest of the bloviators and pontificators, and get out there and run your own damn campaign. You know, don't look at Obama and criticize him. If you don't like what Obama's doing, you know, just break and run. You know, you're a coward anyway. You know, I'm telling you, President, I'm looking at the camera, and you get out there, dude. Show us what you're made of. Show us what the stuff that composes your personality and your character. You know, don't tell President Obama. Obama stepped out there. He's in the line of fire. And what do? You join the side of Mitch McConnell and Boehner and Pence and Santorum and Vitter and the limp balls and the rest of those damn guys on the other side. And so you criticize. And so you're supposed to be so impressive. You might be the leader of something. And then what did you say today, Ed? I'm going deer hunting. Well, Obama can't go deer hunting, Ed. That's an advantage that you have by being a pontificator. You get up there and you supposedly show that outrage and, I'm the redhead and I'm this, I'm that. And then, you know, I'm going deer hunting. Yeah. Anyway, so I sit there and I, you know, I'm thinking, I'm looking and making all these observations, and the progressives, you know, what they've done is they turned on the president. You know, all the different movements that supposedly compile the hope and change, they began to shed off. And I'm wondering if, you know, I hear that. That General Electric is maybe selling MSNBC, the network, and they may be selling it to Comcast, is what I'm hearing. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just me talking. And I'm wondering, maybe it's kind of changing his view. Maybe it's incumbent upon him to change his view to maybe more secure his position. Maybe Comcast is getting ready to be a little bit more foxish. Oops, foxish. That's what I'm trying to say, foxish. But anyway, Ed, he says he's losing faith. You know, and I'm like, dude, you do not lose faith. Either you have it or you don't. And, you know, you never had it. You were a fake and a phony to begin with. And, you know, as a matter of fact, just to show you how outraged I am with him, and I call him a blowhard and all the rest of the gutter snipes, you know, I sent money to this cat. I did. I sent a donation. I went to his page and sent money for this thing that they had down in D.C. And you know, now I wished I had never sent the money to this guy, because I see that he doesn't have the intestinal fortitude. He's not made of anything worthwhile. You know, all he wants to do is to get up there and show us, oh, Obama, you should do this. Oh, Obama, you should do that. Well, what are you going to do there? Well, I'm getting ready to go deer hunting. Yeah. Anyway, I call them dumbasses, or comprising you know, this president, you know, they are trying to demoralize him continually. You know, when you see a friend down, you don't continue to stomp him unless you're a tea bagger, right? You don't continue to stomp a friend if they're down. You know, you offer some support. Can I help you up, brother? What's going on? Can we talk? Can we have a moment here? But no, not Big Eddie. Big Eddie says, "I'm turning on you, dude. I'm done with you." And Dilligan, I call him. Let's see, what I call him? Something Dilligan Radigan and his group. And then that supposedly really mad Turk guy, Jinx or whatever his name is. You know, these guys are all about nothing. You know, progressives stayed at home, they say. So Obama was supposed to make you be an adult and go vote. You know, well, Obama, he should have, you know, Obama's supposed to, what's he going to do next? Chew your food for you? You know, cough when you get congested? Sneeze when your nose gets ticklish? You know, you can't take the responsibility yourself to get out and freaking vote? Oh, I need Obama. He needs to tell me what's in my best interest. Well, you know, what you need to do is stop lying to yourself. Just as the Republicans had thought, they knew that these guys were just, you know, not really thoroughly committed. They were just half-assed as usual. They knew that. These Republicans bet on that. Because I tell you what, no matter how bad the Republicans are, no matter what they try to do, they all stick together. If they're going to drown you, they're all going to drown you. If they're going to stomp your head, all of them are going to stomp your head. You know, there's not going to be just one or two. They're going to hit you in the face. All of them are going to hit you in the face. That's how Republicans are. And they knew people like Ed Schultz and Tom Hartman were shallow and hollow. You know, fair weather friends, a mile wide and a quarter inch deep. You know, so, I mean, you know, and when you see a friend, you know, like I say, going through some things, you don't abandon them, do you? I know you may. But that's not the way I function. That's not the way I operate. Never have been like that. And let's see. So, you know, let's see. So just remember, you know, when you talk with me, when you get on the camera and you speak to me, Ed, you and the rest of you punks, don't start talking about walking away from the president because I know your character. And I know what you're like. You're nothing. You never have been and you never will be all about whatever. You know, so go home where you always were. You know, don't fake and act like, you know, hey, I'm a liberal. You've never been a liberal. You've never been a committed liberal and you've never been a committed Democrat. Only in name, you know. Don't fake, you know, because your inventory is showing. And same thing with Hartman. You know, I listen to him. Hartman's got some good information, but he's got some bad advice. And I think they're weak and spineless, and they're not really engaged or equipped for the long haul. Can you imagine? I won't even get into that. But voters, we need to be mature enough, in my opinion, to do the research. And when you say discouraged, do you understand what that means? They say, I'm a discouraged voter. Dis, take that off and say, C-O-U-R-A-G-E-D, disc. Well, I lost my courage, fundamentally, is what it's all about. Were you ever committed to the cause? You know, I'm committed to sticking this thing out, okay? And they always find a way to rationalize and defend their cowardly decisions. The media does that. The president, if you have principles, you always have principles. And if you have convictions, you'll always have convictions. So don't blame President Obama because you didn't go vote. Blame yourself because you didn't go vote. You know, and if it's not that important to you, if it ain't that big a deal, don't talk about it. Keep it to yourself. You know, and if you're afraid, just say, I'm scared. You know, don't blame anybody, you know, because I never was like that. I've seen people like that, and I've watched them. And the conclusion that I came to is that I don't even ever want to be associated with people like that. They're sad, and hollow excuses for individuals. You know, if you don't want to be on the team, win, lose, or draw, fall back. You know, let's find the real people. Don't occupy space. Go over to the side that you want to be on anyway. You know, go over to that side that's, you know, the other side. And there is no comparison. They try to compare, but, well, Obama, if he was Clinton, if Clinton did this, and if there is no comparison to this president and any other president in history. Obama is historically unique. He has no dominant constituent base. Every president prior to this president could associate himself to some degree with the larger voting majority. You dig? The larger voting majority. That's who elects people. It's not me and my little few people over here. It's the larger voting majority. And those people are the people who really feel like that they find more in common with the Chamber of Commerce and with the Republican Party and with Mitch McConnell, who says his number one job is to get President Obama defeated. These people are, to me, and if you remember, the Chamber of Commerce, I think, put about $800-some-odd million in the race. And Donahue said that he didn't find a problem at all with outsourcing your job. You know, Donahue, he didn't find a problem with that, outsourcing your job, big deal. You know, I was looking at a story, I found it on Yahoo News. Top Democrats say U.S. Chamber agenda is outsourcing jobs. A top Democrat on Tuesday said the U.S. Chamber of Commerce agenda is to send U.S. jobs overseas. Now, that could be your job. Now, the Chamber of Commerce is on the same side as the Republican Party. So you feel as though that you're inclined to vote against your own best interest? You really want to see your job outsourced? It says the Chamber has an agenda, and it's aimed at promoting outsourcing of American jobs, spending money against those who stood up against that, said John Vogel, executive director of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, DCCC. Vogel made the comment at a forum hosted by the National Journal, which included a Republican counterpart, Guy Harrison, executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee. Upon hearing Vogel's comment, Harrison pounced. Wait. The Chamber's agenda the Chamber's agenda is outsourcing U.S. jobs. The Chamber of Commerce. I just wanted to make sure, Harrison said. Vogel and Harrison talked back and forth for a moment as the audience tittered. Vogel made reference to comments by the Chamber Chief Executive Tom Donahue, a DCCC spokesman, later sent out a list of comments by Donahue on the topic. There are legitimate values in outsourcing, Donahue said. Legitimate values in, we need every manufacturing job that we can get here in the United States of America for any number of reasons. The best way to decrease taxes is to increase jobs, in my opinion. Stop sending jobs overseas and start sending products. It says there are legitimate values in outsourcing, Donahue said. In 2004, to gain technical experience and benefit we don't have here, to lower the price of products, lose your job to lower the price of products, which means, I'm not going to even get into that, which means more and more of them are bought into the United States. Okay? But the bottom line is that we outsource very few jobs in relation to the size of our economy. Well, that depends on if it's your job or not. Very few jobs. How many is very few? Donahue said. American companies employ 140 million Americans. The outsourcing deal over 3 or 4 or 5 years and the 2 or 3 sets of numbers are only going to be, you know, maybe 2, maybe 3 million jobs Maybe four. You know? See, maybe 4 million. Maybe that 4 million might be one of your jobs. You think you need the money worse than the people in China? You know, people. And I was listening to people in the chat room talking about the unions. We're going to break the unions. We're going to get rid. You know what? Your job depends on union, on the union, because if the union, what they set the prices, the wages that you gain, that you enjoy the benefit of. They set the standard for, and you could say, oh no, they don't. Oh hell yeah, they do. Yeah, for your benefits, your days off, your overtime pay, your vacation, holidays off. Yeah, you benefit, but you don't sacrifice. The union sacrifice. You don't. So, you know, and I'm not, look, I'm not against corporations, but I'm against corporations telling lies and trying to take over. I'm big time against that. According to opencongress.org, the bill would give, let's see, what is this? No. But the bottom line, okay, talking about outsourcing, the chamber also recently opposed the legislation called Creating American Jobs and Ending Offshoring Act. Creating American Jobs and Ending Offshoring Act. You can look that up in your favorite a search engine, CREATING, American Jobs, MERICN, I know you know how to spell that, and Ending Offshoring Act. Look it up. The chamber recently opposed legislation. According to opencongress.org, the bill would give companies a two-year payroll tax holiday, reducing the amount of Social Security taxes they would have to pay for new employees who replace workers doing similar jobs overseas. Look it up. This is not rhetoric. This is not bumper sticker conversation pieces. You know, that's what these guys run in the room. Oh, Obama, we want to take back, you know. Tell me specifically what you mean. This gives you the specifics. According to opencongress.com, the bill would give companies a two-year payroll tax holiday, reducing the amount of Social Security taxes they would have to pay for new employees who replace workers doing similar jobs overseas. That's you and me, us. You understand? But the chamber was against that. And the chamber gave the Republicans 800 and I forget the other number, 800 and some odd dollars worth of money that came from who knows where, you know, to support their agenda, the Republican agenda. How cool is that, right? It also revokes provisions of the tax code that Democrats say encourage companies to outsource their workforce. You see, it also revokes provisions of tax codes that Democrats say encourage companies to outsource their workforce. The chamber said on October 23rd, said in a September 23rd letter to U.S. senators, that the concept of economic growth is not a zero-sum game. Replacing jobs that is based in another country with a domestic job does not stimulate economic growth or enhance the competitiveness of American worldwide companies, said the letter. Listen, please examine this, if you don't mind. For those of you, the few, two or three people may be listening or maybe checking me out on archive, replacing a job that is based in another country with a domestic, you know, that's our job right here in the U.S. Replacing that job with our job here in the U.S. does not stimulate economic growth and enhance the competitiveness of American worldwide companies. Now, I'm sure it doesn't enhance the competitiveness of American worldwide companies, because if you can get $20-$25 an hour job done for $2 or $3 a day or $7 a day or $10 a week, of course it's not going to be a competitive for the companies, but it dang sure would be competitive for it would be if you had it here, because we would have the resources to purchase the product, which would create the demand that would allow you to continue to create product. But what you're doing is you're taking the jobs overseas, disallowing us, the financial wherewithal, to purchase the product. So you're using us as just feeders. You produce the product overseas, send it back to the U.S., and then you diminish our jobs, and few of us have the ability to purchase the product anyway. So what you use as bait for us is that you diminish the price. You say, well, we'll lower the price since you're not making that much or you may be having a hard time. No, we want the job back, sir. That's all, just the job back. You know, I understand you have stockholders. I understand you want to look good on Wall Street. I understand you want your $100 million a year bonus, but we want our job back, and we support you. It's what we did. We purchased your product, but what I'm beginning to find out, you see, and that's the corporations versus the people. Well, they've already won over the Republican Party and the Tea Party. So the only thing left to stand between the corporations and the American people are the Democrat Party, the Democratic Party. So the progressives have left. And let's see who else. Some of the women have left, they say. And the kids, they sat out. They didn't go vote. They weren't excited. And so you want to graduate college and get a job. Well, maybe you can go to India and work with a master's degree for about $30, $40 a week. Would that be okay? Because I guarantee you that's what's coming if you don't wake up. But that's just me. I'm uneducated, not a very intelligent individual, but I can read, okay? Replacing the job that is based in another country with a domestic job does not stimulate economic growth or enhance the competitiveness of America worldwide companies, said a letter from R. Bruce Johnston, the chamber's top lobbyist. The dude that takes Boehner on golf trips, gets him nice suntan. What did he do to McConnell? McConnell looks like a turtle with shades. Anyway, Justin urged senators to extend all of the Bush tax cuts instead of maintaining that the U.S. business community has expressed a preference for the cuts as a way to stimulate the economy. Exactly, please. How are you going to do that? How might you be able to do that? Extend, you know, you want to extend it, you know, the what? Okay, maybe I'm stupid, but I think that that there were tax cuts, and I don't think that the top 2% have the finance or want to put the financial resources in play. Whereas if you cut the taxes for the middle class, they will buy tires, they will buy get their engines overhauled. They'll buy more groceries, a few clothes for their children. Maybe they'll get their home, the shingles roofs put on. Maybe they'll add a new room. Maybe they'll add some electrical outlets. Maybe they'll get a new furnace that they've been needing. Maybe they'll take a little bitty vacation and put the money in play, which creates demand, which means there has to be more manufacturing, which means there has to be more jobs. The more jobs, then the more people working, the less tax burden on the few people that are working, right? But, hey, what do I know? Vogel's comment came in the midst of his accusation that outside groups spending money on TV campaign ads for Republicans have the wrong values and priorities. So wait. Oh, no. I think there's a separate local. Oh, okay. My screen jumped here. Okay. At the forum, Harrison continued to mock Vogel's comment. We have jumped officially the shark, Harrison said, as the audience laughed. If you wonder why people think Democrats are anti-business, thank you. Vogel tried to salvage his point by distinguishing between the national chamber and its affiliates around the country. I think you need to separate the local chambers who have endorsed our candidates for the U.S. Chamber, he said. But the DCCC doubled down later on a variation of the charge by Vogel that outsourcing was the chamber's agenda, tilting its email to reporters. NRCC Executive Director Unaware U.S. Chamber President Tom Donahue supports the outsourcing of American jobs. So the director, national director of the chamber, President Tom Donahue, supports the outsourcing of jobs. Anyway, I won't bore you with any more of that, but I hope you get the idea, in my opinion, that what happens is that the chamber donated money. They supported the Republican Party, which don't have a problem, you know, whatever. That's what you want to do with your money, do it. But the Republican Party, I mean, then de facto what they do is they support the outsourcing of your job potentially. But that's just an argument that we'll have to have. And if you care to, give me a call, 347-945-7040. And let's see. We will continue right after this brief intermission.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw us disregard a broken bottle top and what meant so.
See, 'cause they got no place to be. That's why.
Hey, 7:44, 16 minutes right now, 15 minutes before the hour of 8 p.m. Thank you for joining us right here on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends, Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'd like to give you the number if you decide you want to give us a call. I check the switchboard. I check the phones on occasion, and we'll try to pick you up if you do decide to give us a call. We'll be more than happy to entertain whatever your comments and or opinions are. The number is 347-945-7040, 347-945-7040. And also, you can contact us right here at blakicz.1@gmail.com. I'd like to continue on talking about the voting that occurred. I didn't have a chance to, as a matter of fact, this is my first time having a chance to address this particular topic. Looking at consortium.com, U.S. Voters Drink Reaganism's Kool-Aid by Robert Perry, November the 3rd, 2010, says already weakened by three decades of slow arsenic poisoning from Reaganism, the United States ordered up a new dose of Ronald Reagan's special government in is the problem elixir in election 2010, and it's hard to envision how this willing victim will soon, if ever, recover. Since perhaps the most telling of all the exit polls for Tuesday was that a solid majority of voters declared that they thought government is doing too many things better left to businesses and individuals, paraphrasing Reagan's favorite political theme, one that has been at the center of America's stunning decline. Did I say America's stunning decline? Animus against the big government has always had a populist appeal, and surely some of Washington's clunky actions have fed this disdain. But Reaganism is, in essence, the populist, smiling face of big money ruthlessly neutralizing the one institution that could threaten corporate dominance of America, a democratized and energized federal government. Do you mind if I read that again? It says, animus against big government has always had a populist appeal, and surely some of Washington's clunky actions have fed this disdain. But Reaganism is, in essence, the populist smiling face of big money ruthless neutralizing the one institution that could threaten corporate dominance of America, a democratized and energized federal government. It says today's victorious corporate Republican chieftains and their Tea Party foot soldiers are just the latest embodiment of Reagan's dark legacy. They favor cutting taxes for the rich, slashing social programs, reducing regulations on corporations, weakening the power of unions, ignoring needed investment in national infrastructure, disdaining environmental science, and trusting the magic of the market. This Republican strategy that Reagan popularized in the early 1980s has, over the past three decades, returned the United States to a second Gilead age. Second gilded age of extreme wealth at the top and shrinking middle class, growing desperation among the working class, rampant stock speculation, and a bubble and bust economy. Yet amazingly, millions of Americans went to the polls on Tuesday and voted for this approach. In Rust Belt states such as Ohio and Pennsylvania, which have substantial interest in manufacturing jobs related to the auto industry, voters punished Democrats who saved General Motors and Chrysler and favored Republicans who would have blocked the bailout. Voters also sent the conflicting message that they wanted the federal government to focus on jobs, 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 but also cut the deficit. They then empowered Republicans whose major idea for job creation is to slash taxes for the richest top 2% of Americans, an approach that has been ineffective in job creation, but is expected to add about $700 billion in red ink over the next decade. Other craziness lies ahead. Media pundits are already hectoring President Obama to move right and cooperate with the Republicans, but the Republican leadership has made clear that its primary goal for the next 2 years, while you're suffering, is to make sure that Obama is defeated in 2012. So you have 2 years to suffer while they get their plans together to try to defeat Obama in 2012, and all they have to do is they think, because they think that the American electorate is so stupid that all they have to do is just not participate in any type of process to improve the conditions that would allow the American electorate to improve its condition. So they just mark time, let you suffer, and they think that you're going to stand by and let it happen. Well, they were looking at the evidence of Tuesday's election to get a little bit of support in their thoughts. The single most important thing we want to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president. The single, not your job, not your health care, not your student loan, you know, not the increase of your income, not stopping you from your house from going into foreclosure, you losing your vehicle. The single most important thing we want to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president, unquote, declared Senate's Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky shortly before Election Day. This is what's weird. He's telling people, supposedly, you know, adult, mature, intelligent individuals, he's saying, quote, the single most important thing we want to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president. Declared. That's a quote. Declared. The Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, shortly before Election Day. Other key Republicans have announced that they will not compromise on what they regard as their quote-unquote principles on the anti-government message they had that they discerned from the voters. Excuse me. In short, Obama faces the prospect of continued Republican obstructionism, except that now the GOP is in a much stronger position. When the economy continues to sputter, as it almost surely will, the news media, corporate news media, will blame Obama either for, quote, unquote, failing to achieve bipartisan or, quote, unquote, failing to heed the supposed electoral message and shift rightward far enough. Anyway, meanwhile, Republicans are angling to regain control of all three branches of government, the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary. The dream of Karl Rove's permanent Republican majority appears to be alive and well. You know, Karl Rove is just trying to stay out of jail. But anyway, I was thinking that, if I'm not mistaken, what I heard, and you can Google this, and you can not Google it, use your favorite search engine, but you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. As I understood it from what I heard from, and I will have to give Tom Hartman credit for this because I heard it listening to his show, that George Bush's budget that he submitted in 2008 was for $1.4 trillion. Okay? $1.4 trillion. After 2 years only, well, initially when Obama submitted, President Barack Hussein Obama, when he submitted his budget, it was for $1.29 trillion. You see, it's less than Bush's budget from 2008. Now, you have to remember, I think, or may I submit this for your consideration, that if I'm not mistaken, Bush or President Bush or President George Bush or Dub, whichever, whatever, if I'm not mistaken, from Bill Clinton, President Clinton, he inherited a budget surplus of somewhere around 280, arguably around $280 billion surplus. Surplus. He inherited a viable economy. He inherited the auto industry that was doing fairly decent at the time. He inherited a fairly stable Wall Street. Okay? Now, in 8 years, I didn't hear a word from the Tea Party during that period of time. Didn't hear a word from the Republicans. All the gravitas that they've accumulated now, all the hell no and you're a liar, all that. And I didn't hear a damn word from them then. All the head stomping, the face bashing, the arresting and the avoiding people interviewing them. Don't want to interview me. You know, and this, remember, was that they said Obama was afraid to get interviewed or whatever, President Obama. But anyway, with all of that stuff, 8 years they supported. 8 years, not a mumbling word. They went from a $280 billion surplus to a $1.4 trillion deficit. Okay? So that's the people that sane and intelligent and mature Tea Party people and Republicans want to invest their money with. People that will take $280 billion and in 8 years turn it into $1.4 trillion worth of debt and outsourced or at least got rid of 5 million jobs and were losing jobs at a rate of 750,000 jobs a month. Now, this is not rhetoric. Look it up. If you think I'm wrong, look it up and hit me up. Let me know. I don't want to just be on here talking noise for no good reason. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, and plus what happened, you know, the socialist government all of a sudden had to open its ears to Wall Street begging, I'm broke, the private sector. I need money, right? Came to Washington, to Congress, begging for money. The private sector, the job engine. You see? So now then also the auto industry came to Congress begging for money. All right? So then, you know, you talk about the stimulus package. Well, the districts that, and I could pull up a little bit of info. I don't have it readily available, but I could pull it up. There were a lot of Republicans who railed against the stimulus package and how bad it was. But in their districts, they would take photo ops that would allow them to be seen as creating jobs in their communities because of the stimulus package. You're talking about some serious hypocrisy. But that's okay. What do I know? I mean, I'm not educated. I'm you know, and I'm not a Republican. I'm sorry. I don't know how to do that. Look, let me do this right here. 347.945.7040. And the wonderful lady, I hope she'll give us a call in. She sent me a little note here. But anyway, let me go ahead and let me tell you, if you call it through, hold on, give me a chance to look at my screen and I'll be looking for your call. Okay. If you decide to call through, let me know. Hey, guest 5416, how you doing? Welcome to the chat room. Appreciate you stopping through. I tell you what, if you can hear me, when you get ready to give me a call, let me know. I'll be looking for your message here. All right. So now, anyway, talking about the left's reaction Karl Rove in the Republican majority. This is what he wants because he doesn't want to get investigated. I'm telling you, this is a lot about Karl Rove. And it's funny. This is strange. The people that want Obama to fail. Now, you heard Mitch McConnell say his greatest objective is to get rid of, not to save your job, not to give you any more money, right? This is a quote, Mitch McConnell, the minority leader in the Senate. The single most important thing we want to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president, unquote. He didn't say a word about saving your job. He didn't say a word about extending your child's insurance to 26 for you to, for your child to be, him be able to be insured on your insurance until he's 26 years, or she, of 26 years of age. These guys are so preoccupied with this brother, Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. I've never seen anything. I'm 58 years old. This is so cool. These dudes are just beside themselves. They never really realized they handed this guy a pile of manure and didn't think that he could get it cleaned up, and he did, and they are freaking out. They're like, what? And I got some stuff about that, too. It says it's also a safe bet that the American left will continue to berate Obama for not being left enough. Now, this is the other cohorts. They call themselves the progressives. So they joined in forces with the Republicans. They joined in forces with Al-Qaeda. They joined in forces with – oh, yeah, they did that. Yeah. Limbaugh, he said – Limbaugh, you put this in your search engine. Ask your search engine to show you – let me see, how do I word it? Rush Limbaugh said he sides with the Taliban. Put that in your favorite search engine. If you think I'm lying, do it. Do it. He said he sided with the Taliban. So, consequentially, Rush Limbaugh, sham insanity. okay. All these guys sided with the Taliban, and what that means is they here's somebody 44, hey, area code 44, let me get you on right quick. Hello, how are you? You here, 44? Can you hear me? 484. You're on the air.
484. I'm here.
Hello. How you doing?
Good evening.
Good to hear from you. How's everything
Thank
going?
You. Everything is this well.
This is a wonderful sister, Rabia Ahmed, and with the SMART. And you promised me you were going to be on next week. Am I correct?
I did. And I'm sorry. Something else came up with business, and I couldn't.
No problem.
I'm sorry.
No problem. I know you have a lot of things.
Send me a reminder.
Huh? Do what? I'm sorry.
You usually send me a reminder.
That's okay. Blame me.
Yeah, I'm blaming you.
But anyway,
you.
How you doing? What's happening up there? Where are you? Tell me a little bit about it. You give me the email, the whole works, so that people can know. And I want people to, if you don't have a pen or pencil, please, if you're listening, or if you're listening to us archived, please write down this information, because do you mind if I say a little bit before I give you the mic?
No.
And the reason that I say that I think this is important that you do this is because there are so many people who converse about things and they have opinions about things, but there are very few people who go outside themselves to actually make a difference in people's lives. And what the lovely Miss Rabia Ahmed has done is she's created a corporation, I think. Isn't that what you, is it a corporation?
Yes.
and she's created a corporation that works with women and their families, and for people who have been disaffected by this economy and other different situations that they find themselves in. And she and her group, her organization, and she does a lot of meetings, and I know she may not tell you, so I'm going to tell you as best I'm able to with the information that I have. She meets with a lot of organizations, with a lot of people, in an effort to provide support for mothers and their children. And she also is in connection with organizations that provide support for fathers, for drug rehab, and successful entering into the society, and with different types of provisions, modification, opportunities, and all kinds of possibilities. Now, I'm sorry, I will let you have the mic so you can provide the details. I'm just trying to give an overview, Ms. Rabia Ahmed. Okay, it's your mic. Did I lose you? Hello? Oh my goodness, I must have put her to sleep with that introduction. Hello, are you still here, Rabia? She's still online. Oh, she hung up. Okay, maybe. Let me see what happened here. Oh, she lost sound. Okay, well, give me a call back. Let me see. I need to hire some support. Oh, is that you? Hey, Silky Lady. Silky Lady down at Houston, Texas. How you doing? Yep. And that's guest 5416. Glad to see you in the room. You can give us a call, too, if you want to, 347-945-7040. And we'd be so happy to hear your lovely voice. But anyway, I'm be looking forward to hearing from Sister Rabia Ahmed if she gets a chance to call back through. And I will not take her time up this next time. I'll get off the mic as quick as possible so she can provide you with the information necessary about SMART. Single Mothers Are Really Trying. That's the name of her organization. And I always forget to get the information pulled because I didn't expect her to call through today. Maybe I might be able to find that information somewhere out here. I know what I need. I need to log it in a way that I can. There. No. But anyway, maybe I'll find it and I can provide you more accurate information on how to contact her. I do know she's in, I think, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, and I really appreciate what she does as far as what she has done. I could give you some background to this extent to say that she had a degree, and she's gone back to get a second degree that would be more would help to better facilitate the success of her operation, and I really need to get her information, and I'll get it and have it for you next week if she's not able to be here. Because if you have an opportunity to make a contribution, if you do make contributions to charitable organizations, I would strongly recommend and encourage you to make a contribution to her, because she is a absolutely wonderful individual, a sparkling, angelic personality, and very effervescent and very determined and very articulate, as you will find out if she gets a chance to come back through, because I will definitely put on the airwaves. But and I really want to say this to you, if you're out there listening and you give us a little bit of support right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends, I really appreciate you stopping through. And we'll be here. We try to make it every Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And what we try to do is provide you a different perspective on the news, because, you know, the corporate news media to me doesn't necessarily represent the information that I would appreciate them, or in a way that I would appreciate them, because they have a perspective. And their perspective is quite different than the perspective that I and a few other friends that I know who have shows on Blog Talk Radio have. And let me run some of those shows by you again as I'm winding down the time. It's 10 minutes past 8 p.m. 8:10 right here on Blog Talk Radio with Ice, Black Ice and Friends. And that's just the name that I picked up, and it's and the reason that I picked it up is it's a play on words and a few things, and I could give you the details, but I won't. But anyway, I want to say thanks to Mr. T.L. Harris. Last week he was on, and really appreciate him. He always provides us a wonderful tour through the music industry from his perspective, a very different perspective, as a matter of fact. And the brother he was talking about, I believe, I know I'm almost sure that I have his name absolutely correct, Weldon Arthur McDougall III. And we always appreciate Brother T.L. Harris. And if you have anyone that you would like to suggest or recommend or any topic that you'd like for us to address, please give us a call, 347-953-479-457-0040. Or you can drop us a line at blackice, blakicz.1@gmail.com. And we'll be glad, happy to respond to you. Listen, that my friend. Thank you, Silky Lady. I really appreciate you, and you know you're welcome to call through anytime you choose to. We were talking with Sister Rabia Ahmed before she got disconnected, or she could have been getting a call through. She gets calls through because she is a business lady, and really. She is relentless in her desire to be successful in helping families. She said, I said the number so fast that she couldn't get it. Let me tell you, it's 347. Let me write it here. 347-945-7040. Yeah, I'm doing that. Putting it right there for you. But anyway, Sister Rabia Ahmed and SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, and she assists the mothers as well as the families to be resocialized or to whatever way she's able to. I know she mentioned to me one particular story that was really touching story where that this lady had a couple 3 days they were going to foreclose on her, and Sister Ahmed out of her own resources tried to provide her a transitional period of a couple days or so where she paid actually for her to have a couple days in a motel, a hotel or whatever, you know, out of her own pocket. And just to give the mother and her family a little bit of transition time between the time she was the house was taken, then she had a couple days or whatever to try to get it together, as well as with the resources that Sister Rabia Ahmed provides through SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. And you know, even a couple days transition, because you know that could be a harrowing experience where you have children, if you have any children, or if you can relate to that vicariously, you understand that there are situations where that, and this is what I say when I get real disgusted and aggravated and upset with people who suggest too big a government, they have never gone through circumstances where they needed, not wanted, not would it have been beneficial. When I say needed, I mean absolutely needed the assistance. And people say, well, you know, you need to get a job. You need, you know, don't worry about me and what I do. You know, by God's grace, I have been able to stay gainfully employed for over 30 years, you know. And my family's been fairly well taken care of during that period of time. But, you know, it's not about me. You know, I look at my grandkids and I want them to be in a real nice situation. And I would like, if I could, and I try to assist others to have their families in a nice situation, you know. When I see guys that make $100 million a year and then people that support them, who make considerably less, you know, who may even themselves be at risk of losing their jobs. These guys will do very good, I think. You know, what I would like to see happening, you know, this is where the bleeding heart liberal thing comes into play, you know, but is that there would be a way to have everyone at least have some situation that they could with some pride grab hold to the rungs that others of us have used to climb up. You know, and people, oh, you know, maybe it's because you're of African descent. No, there are a lot of people who aren't of African descent who are legal citizens of the United States of America who are suffering. And so many people discard and disregard these individuals, and you never know. They may have a cure to AIDS or muscular or whatever, any type of situation that may occur. They may have the cure for it, and you would casually dismiss them. And I could get into some other things, but I won't. Anyway, I will tell you about Sister India DeClaire daily at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday, INDIADECLAIR. If you get a chance, you come to Blog Talk Radio, just put her number, her name in the search block, and it'll provide you the information necessary to find her and her shows, and they are very informative and inspirational. Sister Navasor, NAVAXOR 1, and that's on Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can put her name in the search engine on Blog Talk Radio, and it'll give you the information necessary to find her also. Sister Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M. She's on Blog Talk Radio as well. And type her name and our common ground also, Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern and 9 p.m. Central. And her shows are very tremendous shows as well. And also, let me give a shout-out to Miss E-V-E-L-Y-N, Evelyn, B-O-W-D-E-N. And I think her show comes from Alabama, and it's about education. And what she does is to do the best that she can to provide information and direction for people who are having problems in the children, families who are having problems in the educational situation. And also Miss Quiet Storm, that's M-S-Q-U-I-E-T-S-T-O-R-M, all one word, Miss Quiet Storm. She has a show that comes on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and 12 Eastern Standard. And she has a wonderful show also that comes on, Miss Quiet, M-S-Q-U-I-E-T-S-T-O-R-M. And also I neglected to mention Dr. Reba. I think you can find her typing in Dr. Dr. R-E-B-A. She's on, and I'm not really sure the times that she, I think Sundays at 7. She's on, and she is a graduate of not a graduate, what should I say, a master's. I can't give you all the credentials, but she is a very well qualified young lady, and she has a tremendous tremendous show, and not just a show, but it has a religious base to it. And I think you would enjoy it, especially if you are, you know, have an inclination in regard to the religious aspects of the world, the spiritual aspects or whatever. And also my brother Alpha, he usually comes through, but he didn't get a chance to make it today, and I understand it because I have some things that impede me from showing up on his show at certain times. I love this show. I've got a chance to sit in with him a couple times or so. A-L-F-O, Alpha. And he comes on 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time at 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time, and that's the Truth Network, and I believe that's on Saturdays, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure Our Common Ground, OC, Our Common Ground, or ALFO, that'll get you there. Brother Jay Early, he's got a show, and he does his thing on, I can't remember his days, but J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y, type it in, and you'll be led to the information in regard to his show. So, again, let me say what time right now? It's 19 minutes, 8:19, right here in Central Daylight Time. Central Standard Time. And we like to have you let you know that we appreciate you joining us here, okay? Thank you for listening to us on the next phase with Ice and Friends. We do this on Thursdays. She's having problems trying to get on. And let's see, one more. Yo, yeah. That is my message by name on the palette. Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's me. So, but anyway, let me see. Is there any more information? No. All right. So let me finish my story, and it'll take me a little less than 11 minutes to do it. So I was talking about what I was talking about was a story on consortium.com, U.S. voters drink Reagan's Kool-Aid, and this was by Robert Perry, Dayline, November 3rd, 2010. And it says the left reacted. Also, a safe bet that American left will continue to berate Obama for not being left enough, for not somehow enacting socialized medicine, or for not getting Congress to approve other sweeping, progressive legislation. It's Obama, it's his fault. You know, not that I'm going to form, I'm going to run like Ed. You hadn't met my criteria, so I'm leaving. You never were here to begin with, Ed Schultz. And Tom Hartman. But the voters told pollsters that they felt Obama was too much of a left-wing activist. This is the majority of voters. They said he was too far left. The left said, oh, you're not left enough. Indeed, and so, you threaten Obama? If you're not going to support me, I'm going to abandon you. Well, I tell you what, I supported you, left. And I'm going to be... not going to support you anymore either. Says you want to threaten the president of the United States of America, and you're on the same side with the cartels. That's the drug cartels. You're on the same side with the Taliban, same side with Al Qaeda, same side as the Republicans and the Tea Party, Mitch McConnell, Boehner, Santorum, Pence, Vitter, Cornyn, K. Bailey Hutchinson. Gohmert, with his dumb-looking self, and, well, did I say McConnell looks like a turtle with shades on? Anyway, you're on their same side. So don't you ever say that I was a progressive, I was a, you never were. You were just a weakling, just exactly what you were. But the voters told, anyway, while Republicans were unseating progressive legislators like Senator Russ Feingold, sorry you lost, brother. Oh, Sister Aretha Franklin, bless her, God bless her. She's in the hospital. She's canceled engagements for 6 months. So I didn't know if you knew that. Sister Aretha Franklin, God bless you, sis. You and your family. I've been listening to you for a long time. 68 years old, born around, 42? God bless you. I hope you recover well. Hope everything works out just fine. But anyway, while Republicans were unseating progressive legislators like Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin, however you say it, many progressives were disserting Obama and the Democrats by not voting or casting ballots for the minor third party. I never get these progressives. I could care less about you progressives, whoever you are and whatever your little issues are. I'm going to find out, and I guarantee you I'm not going to be with you either. You're just fair-weather friends. Some even campaigned against Democrats who fell short on some issue or another. All you are is just Republicans, closet Republicans. I got you, picture, dudes and girls. I got you. I understand what you are, nothing but Republicans. For instance, anti-war activist. And this reminds me of anti-war activist David Swanson, who is based in Charlottesville, Virginia, opposed his local congressman, Representative Tom Perriello, for voting in favor of a war funding bill. Perriello, a staunch Obama ally and possibly the most progressive congressman ever elected from that conservative district, lost his reelection bid by about 9,000 votes because of these dummies, the progressives, anti-war activists. To hell with you. History may shake its head over why so many progressives abandoned the nation's first African-American president less than two years after his election. For more on the tragic story of the electoral strategy, see consortium.com's The Teach the Dems a Lesson Myth. You know, if you go to this story here on consortium.com and you look up this story, I'll give you the byline and all in a minute, just a few minutes. Let's see. But the election of 2010 is more troubling than just Democrats coming up short on Obama's promises of change, quote-unquote. Are some disaffected progressives sitting on the sidelines for an off-year election? Sitting on the sidelines, drinking a beer, chilling out. This is the culmination of calculations and miscalculations dating back to the 70s when the left and the right chose diametrically opposed approaches to national politics. The left, which then had the upper hand in the media and strong reformist voices in Washington, opted to reduce its presence in the nation's capital in favor of organizing the countryside. There was a professed fear among some progressives of being co-opted by Washington insiderism. Media also was considered expendable, as promising news outlets were shuttered, like Rampart Magazine and Dispatch News Wire Services. Despite having broken important investigative stories that changed the frame of the national debate, other left-of-center publications like the New Republic and the Atlantic were also were sold to neocons or conservatives. You get it? The left settled on a new slogan: think globally, act locally. But this reliance on grassroots organized failed miserably to counter the right's new strategy of investing heavily in national media outlets, think tanks, and pressure groups to lobby on behalf of the corporate interest and to go after troublesome mainstream journalists. The Republicans also played whatever hardball was needed to win, and the Democrats, after the Watergate scandal, ousted President Richard Nixon in 1974, lost their stomach for standing up to GOP's nastiness. Reagan's victory in 1980 was the first clear indication of the direction of things to come, but the left continued with a strategic withdrawal. The Democrats chose to finesse the Republican onslaught of well-funded attack groups by tacking to the center and cozying up to corporate interests themselves. They had a fear because they'd lose their jobs. Even as this pattern became obvious, with the right's media machine becoming a powerhouse and with the left with no messaging capability to speak of, the progressives refused to change course. Building media remained near the bottom of the left's priority list. For more information on this, it's 27 minutes right now past 8 p.m. 8:28, as a matter of fact. And this is the next phase with Ice and Friends. And let me give you the byline on this. This was Consortium, C-O-N-S-O-R-T-I-U-M News. .com. U.S. voters drink Reaganism's Kool-Aid by Robert Perry, November the 3rd, 2010. Check it out and see what you think about it, all right? But anyway, what I want to say to you all is I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you get a chance some of these days, give us a call, 347-945-7040, or drop us a line, blakicz1@gmail.com. We'd be glad to hear from you. And again, thank you so much for joining us. Hope you have a wonderful week. May God bless you and be with you and yours.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them? Oh, God.